Hey everyone, welcome in to another Daily Editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. And Jordan, there is a lot for us to talk about just in the first, let's say 2.5 days of trading of this year when it comes to the precious metals. Let's start off with gold, because gold started off this week and this year very strongly, up about $50. The one argument could be that it put in a pretty big gap in the daily and even weekly chart, but gold's pulling back today on the back of, I'm guessing, the news out of Georgia and the Senate runoff races. We're not commenting on those. We're just commenting on the price action here. Gold is down about $46 on the spot market, or on the futures market, down just above 1900, about 1908 as we're recording this. What do you think about this action that we have seen in, let's start with gold only, in just the first 2.5 days of trading?
Well, Corey, having that gap up to start the year was pretty surprising. And I felt that when that happened, I felt that this would probably fill. And then yesterday, I felt that looking at the action, yes, this is going to fill. Just the candles that we made me think that we're probably going to see a top. And logically, whatever was going to happen in the election, I think it was going to mark a top, just because, maybe there was a boost because people were predicting whatever would happen would be bullish for precious metals. So, I mean, gold left this pretty big gap. And at the same time, it peaked around 1950, which I was looking at 1920, 1930, which is resistance. And on the daily chart, and then also 1950. And if you were to look at a weekly chart, which I'm looking at right now, there's strong resistance right around 1962 to be precise. And it looks like gold peaked overnight or early this morning, sometime around 1963, 1964. So open gap, clear resistance on the daily and weekly chart. It adds up to the market pulling back, and there's still a little bit more of the gap to fill, I think. I think we're going to see probably a little bit more selling, and perhaps the last day or two is going to mark a peak that could hold for a little while. I obviously don't know how long, but it should hold for a little while.
Jordan, what's the significance of this recent move in gold, even though it was a very quick move higher, that it did break this general downtrend and the upper level of that downtrend line that has been in place since August?
Looking at the down, at least the downtrend line, that I like to draw my lines. I usually, when there's a clear downtrend, I usually don't start from the peak. I usually pick the next peak. And looking at that, it looks like we broke it. However, we're going back under it. So as far as the trend lines, I wouldn't focus on that right now, just because it could get a little messy breaking above it and then coming back. But I think what's significant, Corey, is looking at the price action. You do have a pretty good rebound from 1775 or 1770 all the way up to 1960. So that's a pretty good move. And if you're looking at the gold chart, one of those peaks, I just mentioned we have resistance around 1960. And so the November peak, we rallied right back up to that point. So I like the setup in the chart for gold, even though we could pull back, and maybe it'll be a month or two, I don't know, before we get back and test 1960 again. But it's just bullish that we rallied all the way up there. And so that tells me, just looking at the daily chart, I can envision gold, okay, it looks to me like it corrects and consolidate here, but at some point it's going to rally back up to 1960. And assuming it can do that again, it's probably going to punch through. So that's the significance, is that we rallied a good amount, and we were able to approach a key level. And also, Corey, again, looking at the weekly chart, that's pretty significant. If we get a weekly close in gold above 1960, we're probably going to be off again. We're going to have a lot of momentum behind that. So Yeah, it's even though we didn't break it on the first try, it's very positive that gold was able to rally up to that point, because if and when gold gets back to this point again, I think it's going to break through, and that would be even more significant.
Okay. Yeah, it was a nice recovery at the end of the year after about 5 months of a downtrend. Finally, December, it seemed like gold and all the precious metals really started to recover. Let's talk about GDX, though. The gold stocks, their recovery, even after the pop on Monday, was still a fair bit off from their November high. Their November high about 41.50, and then the recent high just earlier this week was just short of 40, about 39.01 actually. So it was still a little bit shorter, and now GDX is pulling back. There is still this gap that was put in on Monday. It hasn't corrected to the same degree that gold has. What do you take away from these two relationships?
What I take away, and that's a great point, how GDX has lagged, and not to deviate from GDX, which you asked about, Corey, but my takeaway is, you know, look, in the last couple of days, what was interesting is GDX was really the laggard. I mean, you had SILJ rallying all the way back to the high, and then if you look at GOEX, which we don't talk about, but that's an ETF of, you know, explorers, whereas GDXJ is more juniors, but we're talking about larger, you know, larger explorers, larger juniors. So the smaller you get, those companies were trading much better, even in the silver stocks as well. So throughout the complex, GDX was the real laggard. So as far as between GDX and gold, I don't know how much I can take away, other than you could say that, I mean, it's too late to say it now, but in the last couple of days, you could say, well, the majors are not really confirming the strength in gold. As you noted, they didn't get anywhere close to the November peak. Looking at the price action in GDX, I mean, there's still a pretty big gap to fill in GDX. So I think we're probably going to see more selling. As far as GDXJ, there's still a big gap to fill, a couple points lower. So I think we're going to see more selling in the miners over the next couple of days. And like I said, yesterday is probably going to mark a peak. I don't know if it's going to mark a peak for a couple weeks, a month, or 2 months, but it will be some kind of interim peak. But to look at GDXJ, the peak, I mean, the high is around 63, 64, and it did get up above 58. So making good progress there. But again, GDX and GDXJ, there's still a lot of gap to fill, and I think we'll see that later this week.
Yeah, the juniors are actually looking better. The chart does look marginally better than the GDX chart, so that's also got to be telling us something. Let's drive down into silver now, too, because it was even last week that you and I were talking about how this 27 level was pretty large resistance, and right now we're seeing a lot of volatility right around this level. And one other thing to take away from today even, too, is that gold percentage-wise is down, as we're recording this, a little bit more than silver. Usually we see silver as the more volatile metal. How are you seeing the setup in silver then? Let's start with the metal.
Okay, this is interesting. I mean, this is what I'm going to talk about here, is how you have to analyze charts on different time frames. So to really get a complete view, you can't just look at the daily chart. You have to look at the weekly, monthly, et cetera, sometimes even the quarterly, which I like to do. So as far as a daily chart, you can look at that and say, oh, well, silver looks good. It's bounced multiple times from 22. It rallied up to 28. I mean, it's selling off, but it got past 26. So that's encouraging, even though it probably going to pull back here. However, if you look at the weekly chart and even the monthly or quarterly chart, I mean, you can see really significant resistance around 27 and 28. And so that tells me it's going to be difficult for silver to, I mean, it really has to get going if it's going to make a monthly or quarterly close above 27 or 28. Obviously, the quarter is 3 months away, so we'll just worry about the monthly chart. But that's the thing with silver, Corey, is you look at these monthly and quarterly charts, The key levels are 27 and 35. And I mean, that's a lot of, so I'm not a huge fan of the setup in silver. I mean, it has quite a bit of resistance at those levels. And again, we're not just looking at daily or weekly charts. I mean, these are monthly and quarterly charts that show us how significant those levels are. So I know that silver has had a good move. I know it looks better on the daily chart, but all I am saying here is I can't predict the future, but it seems there's a lot of optimism around silver and there's a lot of technical resistance. Again, 27, 28, and then 35. So I would just be a little bit, I don't know if cautious is the word, or just kind of be more muted in my optimism. Silver has a lot of resistance to chew through moving forward. But I mean, on the daily chart, I do like the strong bounces that it's had off of 22. So we'll see what happens. There's probably going to be a lot of backing and filling, I would guess, for the rest of January.
So what about the silver stocks? You look at something like SIL, that chart looks even better than the underlying silver price. It blew pretty quickly. Well, I guess it blew quickly thanks to the Monday move through that November high and was coming closer to the August high, which is technically SIL was outperforming silver. These are all by just a couple percent. There is one thing we should note there is that this outperformance we're talking about is just marginal outperformance, but you and I both know how much the precious metals bugs like to look at stocks, and if especially silver stocks, if they're outperforming, that leads a lot of the metals bugs to be very bullish. So how are you breaking down the moves in silver miners and how well silver stocks have done?
That's a great point, Corey. And I'll also throw in SILJ, which the last 2 days it closed at a new high, a higher high above the August high. The one thing is silver is a, even with SIL and the large silver players, I mean, silver is a tiny niche sector, even a lot more so than gold. So I don't want to, at least in the short term, I don't want to base like all my optimism on the fact that, or I wouldn't base all my optimism on the fact that silver stocks are outperforming and leading. Nevertheless, Corey, it is a good thing. And it leads me to think that when we get the next leg higher in this sector and it's a sustained move, it really leads me to think it's going, that the stocks are going to lead it. And you can see the stocks really outperform the metals. So I'm extending what's happening here in silver into the gold patch as well. But I still, even though the silver stocks have run nicely here in recent days and recent weeks, I still want to be a little bit cautious short term, given that resistance in silver. I mean, we'll see when silver starts battling this 27, 28. I mean, we'll see how the silver stocks react. I mean, if they continue to trade around these levels for a couple weeks, even while silver is battling that resistance, and so in other words, and we don't see the silver stocks sell off that much, that to me would be a really, really good sign.
All right, Jordan, we're wrapping it up there. A lot to take in. Thank you for addressing a lot of those questions and just a lot of the commentary that even I've been receiving when it comes to the charts and the relationship between gold, silver, gold stocks, and silver stocks. There's a lot to take in here. And look, overall, we might have some weakness in the near term, but this is still a very nice setup that we've seen in this market. It's just natural price action that we see when we do see these kind of pops and this kind of volatility that, in all fairness, seems to be market-wide. Jordan, thanks again for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you next week.